Let me just pray for us. Father, we thank you. We've had some good laughs so far this morning, and we know that's a vital part of this thing called Christian community. People often forget that it's essential. We like to call it the 11th commandment, thou shalt have fun in the kingdom of God. And God, we're so thankful that we can be here this morning, crammed in this little gas station. I don't think any of us would have ever known this, certainly not I. And we're humbled that we serve such an incredible God as we worshiped you already. And we just want to learn from your word this morning. And we just want you to change us. And we want you to show us more of who you are. And I pray that, God, you give me the ability this morning, as you've given me this privilege, you'd give me the ability to share about you, who have absolutely changed my life, who've taken me at my Humpty Dumpty, broke all over the show state, and you've put me back together. And you do it again and again and again. And God, it's such an honor to serve you in this way. Be with us this morning. Amen. All right. Okay, so we are finishing up Colossians this week. Some of you guys are like, thank God. That's like the longest book ever. It's actually only like 4 chapters, but it's taken us 20 weeks. So it's fine and interesting. I have more to say about it than God did, but anyway. We've learned a lot on the subject. We went through this week and burned a lot of the previous CDs for this whole series over there. So if you missed a week or wanted to, that's all free there. It's not because I want to feel fancy by any means. It's just if it's helpful for you, it's there. They're free. Take them. So rather than go through all of what we've gone through so far, I'm going to jump right into it and just kind of save us the time, okay? So what we come to here is, and this is often in a lot of these letters that Paul writes, you'll see a little subheading, okay, we're at chapter 4, verse 7. You know, right above that, in most of your Bibles, there'll be a little subheading that says, final greetings, okay? And usually this is kind of where most of us go, all right, next book, and we just keep on going, you know? I used the illustration a few weeks ago that Paul has, with this book of Colossians, Paul has almost got like this jumbo jet of truth, like flying in the air. I mean, he is like covered some of the most heavy, incredible topics about Christ that there are, okay? That's what we've been going through the last few weeks, and I don't know if I've done it justice or not, but we've been really trying to just unpackage this beautiful letter that Paul writes. He writes from prison in a cave underground where he has never even met the Colossian church. He doesn't know it, but he's about 2 years away from being murdered because of his love for the church. And this guy, out of his love, is just overflowing love for the local church, writes this beautiful letter. And we've been trying to unpackage it, okay? But this thing is now coming down. It's hit the runway. It's landing. And this is kind of its final approach to the gate. And for you guys who fly often, this is the, you know, you may now turn your cell phones on. Don't unbuckle your seatbelts until we've arrived at the gate. That whole thing. And most of us, like the introduction where they tell you, like, you know, read the safety card in front of you. Most of us are like, we're not there. We're not really listening, you know? And I want us to be careful because this is the same thing, but it's not. It is the same way in that it's the kind of final approach to the gate comments, but it's not this kind of flight attendant who just rambling on, like reading the script. This is still a guy who's in prison, who's writing this letter. And more importantly, this is still God trying to communicate something to us. And so oftentimes we'll go, oh, final greetings, skip, you know, next book. But I think sometimes we miss some really important stuff. And so we're gonna unpackage this big kind of last chunk this morning. We're gonna get started on Matthew next week. And but I want you to kind of just as I read through it, it's gonna be really long. We're gonna take it piece by piece by piece. But think about it from this aspect. Man, this is still God speaking. Okay? So here we go. Verse 7. And FYI, there are going to be a lot of names in here that I cannot pronounce, and you cannot either, and that's where my comfort comes, and so I will try, and that will impress you, but just know this is probably not the accurate pronunciation, okay? I went through last night and tried my best, but I don't know why they named these guys things like this. It's just difficult. Okay, verse 7, Colossians chapter 4, Titius will tell you about my activities. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, that was a lovely effort. My fellow prisoner greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, No kidding. I'm sure that was a little confusing. Everybody's walking around worshiping Jesus, and this guy's getting like a big head about the whole thing, but it was a different Jesus. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that I have received, that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Okay, so this is how Paul ends this letter. And I think for me, what I want to help you see this morning is I think Paul gives us a really critical glimpse into healthy church community. We are spending this time to go through Jesus, who Jesus is, but this is undoubtedly a really great picture about local church. And that all went away, didn't it? Okay. No, we're back. All right, cool. So this is going to be kind of a healthy glimpse into local church, all right? We've called this church One Harbor. And some of you go, well, I don't understand. Why would you call it that? Well, it came to me one day while I was surfing, and good things come to me when I'm out surfing. And then I begin to think a lot about it, and the one aspect of it is this, is that we're one of many harbors. We're not the harbor, okay? We're not, I mean, that's so pretentious even from the get-go. Out the gates, we're the harbor. Well, what does that mean about these guys? You know, well, no, we're the harbor. They're just something else. No, we're one of. We're one harbor. We're one of many harbors, okay? We're one of many harbors here on the beach, here in this community. And we need lots of different harbors. So we're one of, okay? And then harbor is there's tons of reasons for this, but if you begin to look at what a harbor is, it's actually, and you look at what a church should be biblically, it's an incredible picture to me of safety, security, going in, going out, all this stuff that we're going to kind of go through this morning. And there's a bunch of that on the website if you guys are interested. You can go, it's www.oneharborchurch.com. You can read kind of how we got the name and that whole deal. I don't want to bore you with it. It's right there. So first off, let me just say, I would be shocked if you or me had this part of our Bibles highlighted, underlined, all right? Most of these chunks of the Bible are like unnavigated. And if you look at your Bible, and if you're like me, there's like all these like notes here and highlights here, and then you come to like final greetings, it's like just as it came out the box, like no wrinkles, like just bam, right there, you know? And for me, it's because we really don't understand this thing. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed or breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. All scripture. That means all of it. Like every bit of it, you know? But here's what happens is we read through this list of names and we go, I don't remember reading Donnie in there. I mean, there's some crazy names. One guy named Jesus, you know, some other guy. I mean, there's a lot of crazy names, but I don't remember Donnie's name being in that list. Did anybody else hear Donnie in there? Moving on, next passage, you know? And because it doesn't seem like it's profitable to us immediately, we kind of just go, all right, next. But I think for us, what's going to help with this issue, if in your reading the Bible, I'm just saying, if this is you, if you're like me in this, it's this understanding that 2 Timothy 3:16, that all of the Bible is God-breathed. That God was not trying to fill some extra space because he wanted to impress us. That he's not just kind of rambling on and on because he's some senile old man. That he's not just some babbler, you know, like me. Like I just can't shut up. I mean, this isn't God. God is not wasting words here. This Bible is stuff that he felt like was crucial for us to understand. Okay, so that's just some intro for you as you read the Bible. So we're gonna look here at for me, Paul gives us kind of five or six, however many we get through, healthy signs to local community. Number one. Paul gives this picture of genuine hearted leadership. Okay? These guys were not professionals. Here's the verse. Titius will tell you about my activities. He's going to tell you what I do. Okay? He is a beloved and faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. So who did Paul pick to kind of deliver this jumbo jet? Paul picks kind of like the British air of his communications. Some of you guys don't understand that. If British air is really nice, I only know this because I've flown South African air a bunch of times, had like 30 bags lost, got stuck in Dakar for like hours in the middle of nowhere, West Africa, burning up hot on the runway multiple times and so on and so on. And so I know what it's like to fly a really junky, like crappy kind of airline. And so for me, when I read this, I think, man, who did Paul choose? He looked at his team. Who did he say, hey, you take this letter to the Colossian church? He chose this guy who's, this is how he describes him. He's beloved, he's faithful, he's a fellow servant, and he's gonna tell you guys what we're like, okay? If you're like me, this sounds different than what you and I know as kind of professional, quote-unquote, ministry. And this is my angst. I talk about this a lot. We really aren't very, very big fans of religion, and we know that, yeah, there's a lot out there. So for me, my angst is because I read the Bible and I see that these guys were so different than what many of us have become. And I'm so desperate not to become that, you know? And so it's just a journey that I'm on. I don't have it perfect, but for me, it's there's this danger where so many of us are leaning towards, so many Christian leaders, when I say us, are leaning towards becoming professionals or have already become that. And to me, it's a terrifying thing. And some of you guys go, that doesn't make sense. I mean, professional sounds good to me. It's good in my office. Why isn't it good? And let me just read you a quote to you that may help make some sense. It's by a guy named John Piper. He says, "We pastors are being killed by the professionalizing of the pastoral ministry. Professionalism has nothing to do with the essence and the heart of Christian ministry. The more professional we long to be, the more spiritual death we will leave in our wake. For there is no professional childlikeness, there is no professional tenderheartedness, and there is no professional panting after God." And for me, this is why I think this is one of the things Paul's trying to communicate here. He says, "Look, I sent you this guy because I want him to show you what we're like. That's the reason I sent him. He's going to show you that we're not." Paul goes on and on in all of his letters. He bashes these guys that he calls them, quote unquote, super apostles. It's like his sarcastic way of saying it's these professional guys who everybody wants to have in their churches, these big name guys. He says, man, we're not like those guys. I'm going to send this. He'll show you what we're like. We're just normal guys. We love you. We're doing this for you. We care about you. We're praying for you. I'm in prison about to be murdered, and I can't help but write you a letter. These are the type of guys that we are. We love you. Our heart is genuine before God. And like I said, this is a major part of Paul's letters as you read through the New Testament. Paul is always bringing this thing up, okay? And I'm not right now trying to get you to think of other guys who may, that's irrelevant, okay? For me, the point is for you to help you see that this is a vital part of Christian community, is genuine-hearted leadership. Leadership that loves the church, okay? Now, we're going to spend a whole season at some point in time going through healthy local church as we see it in the Bible. If you cut me, this is what I bleed. I love this subject. I could talk about it for hours. So I'm excited to get to talk about it a little bit this morning, but that's just a little snippet for that. Okay, so number one, there's genuine leadership. That's one of the things you should be looking for in a local church. Number two, these guys were able to reproduce that type of leadership. He says, "And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you." And he goes on and says, "And this other guy named Epaphras, who was one of you." So basically, this church was able to reproduce leaders. Now see, we read this stuff and it's like, oh, that's irrelevant, you know? But it's not irrelevant. That's a true sign of healthy local church, is that we're able to recognize, raise up, and release people into leadership, that we're able to bring guys through, that we don't have to always hire guys from the outside and bring, that there's a sign here that these guys were able to take people from the place that they were and bring them through. This is what you're going to look like after you've been here at a season at the Colossian church. And these guys are now ministering with Paul. They're traveling. They're doing all this cool stuff. And this is a huge value at One Harbor. I know you can't see it yet because we're so new. But for us, this is a value of ours that we're looking forward to sending our best. That sounds ludicrous, sounds crazy, but it's true. That's we're looking forward to, you know, when somebody says, man, like I've got it in my heart to plant a church in Greenville. Well, let's get behind you, man. Who wants to go with them? Who's, you know, like, how can we, what can we do? How can we send you there, you know? And they're going to inevitably be our best. They're going to be our best. They're going to be the ones that, like, you don't want to leave. You know, you don't want to see go. That's how it goes. But it's a value for us. It's one of the reasons we chose the word harbor, because it's constant going and sending. We're not one lake, you know. We're all going to be here forever, you know. You know, smelly, like, you know, nasty water. You know, we're a harbor, you know. And the moment that you and I, because we're so, we want to control the environment, the moment that we put a wall, kind of that damn wall, both meanings of the word, that we put that there, and we say, you know what, no more inlet, no more outlet, you know, we're going to control this, nobody's leaving, nobody's going, it becomes weird, it becomes incestual, it becomes just, I mean, like, stinky, nasty, and so often we wonder, where'd the life go? You know, well, man, we cut that flow of water off, it became a swamp, you know? And so this is a value. You can't see it yet, but it is going to happen. I mean, Jill and I just experienced this. We were at a rocking church in California. Actually, Diana and Max, a couple of our friends, came out just to visit this weekend from that church. I mean, this church is unbelievable, okay? I don't know why anybody would want to leave there. Well, then we put up our hand to leave there. We're on this pastoral team. We feel like we're on a team with, like, legends. I mean, there are guys who have been leading churches, like, well, for longer than we've been alive, you know? And we're just like, we can't believe we're on this team. It's incredible. And then we start feeling God stirring us to come here, you know? And it was the worst time for us to leave for lots of reasons, I can tell you, because, you know, later. But, I mean, it was really, we were very involved. All the things that we've been working for were just about to, like, to come through, to happen, on and on and on. And we felt in God it was this. We prayed. We wrestled through it for months. We got wise counsel, and they sent us out. So this sending, actually, this is a healthy thing. It gives room for more people to come through. Okay, like I said, I know you can't see it yet necessarily, but us leaving, we went back a few months after like 2 months or so after we had left, and there were all these guys that had kind of just set the bench for years, now on the front, like, line, you know, now at the microphone, now leading well, leading strong, like, just going for it, you know, pioneering new ministries and stuff. And what happened? You know, well, there was a hole to fill, you know. We got sent out. There's a big gap there. What do? Man, we step up to the plate. It's healthy local community, okay? So this is a huge mark to me of a local church when it's healthy. Not just numbers, but leaders being produced. You know, we can. It's not actually that hard to gather a crowd. Just to be honest, it really isn't that hard. It's what you do with the crowd. That, to me, is what needs time to be proven. And I know that some of you guys, well, you know, you can't really prove anything yet. Well, we can't. You know, this is 20 weeks or so that we've been doing this. But that's what we hope to prove. So, yeah. Enough on that. Yeah. Oh, sorry. One more thing there is I wanted to say that what you'll become is the real proof if what we're doing is something right or not. You can't judge this tree yet. You can't judge One Harbor yet. You know? I think it's going to take time. It's going to take time for people to see, man, what actually happens as a result of people coming to this church? Are they entertained? What is it that happens? I mean, for me, the only thing we care about is your life getting changed, you know? We're not into big, you know, buildings and all. We just, to me, that doesn't matter. I mean, if it's necessary, great, go for it. But it's not what I'm in it for, you know? Acts 4:13, that's our battle cry. That's what we're on about. That's where these guys, they saw the disciples and they said, man, these guys, they're ordinary, they're unschooled men, but man, they took note, they'd been with Jesus. That's what we want, okay? Number three, not only were there genuine leadership, not only was it, you know, not only did they have the ability to bring through great leadership, but also they were super diverse. And I like to say it like this, diversity is our strength. Paul didn't bring through clones, okay? I'm gonna read you this list really quick. He made disciples. He had about a team of, some theologians think it was over 30 people that were on his kind of traveling team helping local churches, and risking their life to help the local church. And here's a few of the guys that he lists. He divides them into two groups, circumcised and uncircumcised. Very weird, you know, kind of way to divvy it up there. I'd be like, isn't there another way? Can I just tell you honestly? Do I have to, like, you know? Sorry. It's a little heavy there. We needed a joke. But Paul divides this group up, and he gives them one. He says, "This guy, he's my fellow prisoner. He greets you. This guy, Aristarchus or whatever. He was a converted slave. Historians tell us. Okay, so he's got this one guy who's a slave. Then he says, Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And Mark, if you read Acts 15, caused this big stir, actually caused Paul and Barnabas to split ways. Brutal kind of like division in their ministry. And now this guy's back on Paul's team. See, we miss these little things because we think, oh, big deal. But this is incredible because this is a guy who Paul had a huge fight about and actually split, like he split paths with his partner in ministry because of this guy. And now this guy's back on his team. It's a beautiful picture of reconciliation. And then he says, this guy, Jesus, who's called Justice. You know what? Nobody has a clue who this guy is. Nobody knows. I've read, I've looked. Nobody has a clue who Jesus, who was called Justice, is. And I love that. Like, to me, that's beautiful because this guy was, even though he was obscure, he's probably like the guy that hangs in the back. You know, is by personality, he's not the loud, vocal, like, you know, in the limelight kind of guy. But man, he was effective. So he may have been obscure, but he was effective. So this guy, this is incredible. And then Paul lists these other guys. He says Epaphras, who's one of you, Luke, who was a doctor, Demas. And this guy Demas, who later walked away, you know, history tells us, over in Timothy. And for me, that's a cool picture too, because, you know, just because we're on some, you know, dream team doesn't mean that, you know, that we're effective. You know, I mean, Judas, for example, was on Jesus' team and he ended up betraying him and having him murdered. And so sometimes I've heard people or I've caught myself saying, you know, if only I'd been alive when Jesus was walking on the earth, then I would really be able to do, you know, and I don't know, man, maybe I would have been Judas, you know, like if I'd have been alive back then, you know, like maybe I would have turned him over. So for me, it's this thing, this Demas, he throws this name in. You know, God does for on purpose because it's this reminder that, man, guard our hearts. Because this guy's name made it in the Bible. And then a few verses later, we find out that he walks away. He, you know, he goes off and pursues, Timothy tells us, just worldly pleasures. So for me, it's this thing of, there's all kinds of diversity from slaves to doctors, from circumcised to uncircumcised, from guys who had walked, who caused the split mark and was brought back in to guys like Demas, who looked effective, looked great, and then later walked away and caused a bunch of problems. There's this diversity, and it brings strength. So here at One Harbor, we're not trying to make clones. We're trying to make disciples. We're trying to bring through leaders. That's a value that we have here, okay? We don't want you to, like I say it all the time, it sounds stupid. We don't want you to start surfing just because a bunch of us do. That's dumb, you know? Like, if you play, you know, badminton, man, do it to your heart's content, you know? Go for it. I'll come watch your matches and, like, wear a shirt or whatever they do, you know? Yeah. So, number four, we're getting there. This one is important. This is a value for me. It's partnership, not competition with neighboring churches. These guys partnered with, they didn't compete with local churches around them. He says, give my greetings to the brothers Laodicea and Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Laodicea was like Newport to these guys. It's like 5 miles away, you know? It's just right down the street. And Paul is assuming that they do stuff together. They work together. They partner together. They read each other, the letters he sent to each other. It's not like, hey, our letter's better, or don't let them read our letter. That's our letter, you know? Like, stupid. Like, they work together. They partner together. They're on the same team, you know? There's going to be differences about who we are because we're different. But it's like having kids. I mean, I don't know you. I don't have any, but I can see that this kid's different than this kid. Doesn't make this kid better than this kid or worse than this kid. We never see a good picture in the Bible of when brothers compete against each other, you know? So for example, I mean, we're doing this baptism at the end of the month that I mentioned earlier. We've choosing to partner with a church called The Intersection. If all goes as planned, we're gonna get together and eat together and baptize people together. We can do all that stuff together. They don't have to go find their own ocean, find their own water, you know, find their own hot dogs. That's stupid, you know? Anyway, so again, I get very passionate here. You guys are here. I don't have to yell at you. But we're one of lots of harbors, not the harbor. Okay? Get it? Got it? Good. All right. Final note on that. Don't come, please. I'm begging you and I'm telling you. I don't do that often. Please don't come in here bashing other churches. We're going to ask you to go somewhere else. That's just not who we are. Okay. Number five, Paul does this. I love this about Paul. He's trying to close the letter. and he just can't help himself. He loves people so much, he just can't help himself. He says, oh, and by the way, say to this guy, Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I don't know where Paul met this guy, but imagine what that must have meant to him. Imagine being him. The church is reading this letter, and it seems like it's done. It's almost done. You know, some people have already checked out. They're already thinking about Golden Corral. And this guy's probably sitting in the back like, you know, whatever. Letter's over. And all of a sudden, Paul brings up his name. Hey, by the way, make sure that this guy fulfills the ministry that he's received in the Lord. I love that. I love that about Paul. He just can't, he loves people so much he can't help himself. Couldn't just say kind of peace out, you know, Paul out, you know. He just brings it back to like, man, don't forget this guy. And for me, it's that value of we never lose sight of the main thing, which is discipling people, which is loving people through to a place of wholeness. Even Paul, ending his letter, one more thing. This guy, man, make sure he does everything that God's called him to. Make sure that he lives that full life that God has for him. Okay? That's great leadership. That is great leadership. Almost finally, number six, relationships are important. Paul says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. You know, Paul is, in contrast to the people of a lot of people in his day, Paul is not kind of pimping the gospel, if you will. I know it's a crass way to say it, but that really is what it is. Paul isn't out there, he even refers to these guys do it just for money, and these guys do it for this and that. He's not that kind of guy. Genuine hearted to the core. But I love this. Paul says, he had this letter being written for him, and he says at this moment, like, I love these guys so much, I'm gonna grab the pen, and I want to sign this thing myself. I want these guys to know that I love them, that I care about them. This thing, again, it's not this professional thing. And for me, it's this value that, and this is one of the values we have here at One Harbor, that's friendship is above function or before function. You know, that we're friends first, that we are kind of these relational animals. You know, we were joking earlier before the meeting that we eat at everything. That's what we do. Now, I don't know if all other churches do that. We do that. We had a sad, you know, week with Derek's mom's memorial service here, and I wanted to bring food, and then somebody said, I don't know if that's appropriate, and I was like, well, we're so used to eating all the time, I thought that was normal, you know, that we rock up with like snacks and food and stuff, you know. I mean, the family did bring food and snacks, so I guess it was normal to them, you know. And for me, if I die, please bring some food. But eat something for me, you know, like. I'm going to leave a list of the things I'd like you to eat, all of you. All right. So, but that's just who we are, man. We're relational animals. We really are. We can't hide that. And for me, this is why. Friends eat together. Family eat together. That's what we're going to be. We're friends. We're family. We're a community. This isn't your job where we all take a lunch break and we go eat somewhere else. We're going to do life together. That's to me what local church is all about. Doing life together. When we study the local church, you're going to see that. It is everywhere in the Bible. These guys, they just did life together. You know? And finally, we're addicted to grace. Paul ends the letter by saying this, grace be with you. If you had the one thing you wanted to say last was, man, grace be with you. I love it. So, kind of in closing, we're part of, you know, something much bigger than ourselves. A harbor is much different than a boat slip. It's different than a lake. It's different than all these other analogies we could have used. And for me, this is our dream. This is our dream. I mean, I'm painting you little pictures of this dream called One Harbor. It's not my dream. I believe it's God's. You know, this is his girl, the bride, the church. And so we firmly believe that he's the senior pastor. That's why you get to call me Donnie. Just because I lead the thing, I don't need a special title. And that's just, again, how we do it. But I want to say this in closing, that the church will be what we make it, not what I make it. I need to hear that because that's probably different than maybe you've heard before. The church will be what we make it, not what I make it. See, too often, man, we just want to lay it off on the guy up front. And we wonder why we're not really making any impact, you know? And for me, it's that kind of thing of, like, I haven't hit anybody in a long time, but I remember how. And And I remember that, throwing it out there, in case you guys were wondering. Feel frisky afterwards, just come find me. Just kidding. Just kidding. But if you're going to hit somebody, you don't hit them like this, you know? I mean, you can, but that's really weird. And you're going to hurt your finger. And nobody's going to, like, everybody's going to laugh at you. So if you do that, we're going to help you now. Nobody ever taught you, we're going to help you right now. You don't hit anybody like that, all right? We hit somebody like this, you know? And for me, so often we wonder why we're not making an impact, but we're all waiting for one guy to do all the work. And that's like this, man. And for me, the impact comes when we take the fingers, we make a fist. Now we can do something, you know? Now we're ready to make an impact. So I know that was a great man analogy. All the women were like, I don't like it. The men are like, yes, I have a role to play in this church. Let's hit some people. So we can, I mean, I can preach my guts out. We can play our guts out. But honestly, it's the heart of, it's what you guys grab a hold of and say, man, this is my church. That's what's going to make all the difference in the world. The church in Laodicea that Paul mentions so often in this closing, they're mentioned as well later in the Bible. Revelation 3, 14 through 22. And it's this picture where Jesus says, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. You know, if anybody will come out to me. Now, evangelists have used this verse for like all of eternity. And they've used this for people who don't know Jesus. And they've said, God stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. And I don't know, maybe he does stand at the door of your heart and knock. But I know for sure what it's talking about here is a really sad picture. And this is a church that's having dinner and locked Jesus out. And Jesus is knocking on the door. And he says, man, will you guys let me in? This is not a good sign. It's not healthy local church. Jesus being locked out. And so, to me, it's a slap in the face, you know? And for me, I can tell you this. That's not what we came here for. That's not our dream. That we feel like we're caretakers of this thing called One Harbor. We want to keep the gospel and Jesus the main thing. And we don't want to see that. I don't want that to be the letter that would be written about us. Jesus says, hey, I'm outside. You guys have got some fancy lock on the door here. I mean, you're not letting me in. What's going on? You know, that is just awful. So this is what I want us to do. I want us just to worship together. If you guys want to take some communion this week, go for it. It's in there in the back. It's here in the front. We'll bring it around. If you feel like there's just something you want to celebrate communion over, go for it. But we're going to worship together, and let's do this as we kind of close it. Let's make sure we focus on the together, you know? I mean, I almost want to do the kind of like, you know, old school, grab the hand of somebody beside you kind of thing. I mean, just in your heart, think about the people around you when you worship. Man, let God, just look around the room and think, man, like, these are incredible people that we get to go to church with, that we get to partner in this thing with. It really is beautiful, and I want to say, man, I think we can do this. You know, when I read these things, I know that it's a lot here, but I don't think it's out of our reach. I really think it's something that kind of we can if we will, you know, if we'll commit ourselves to, man, to being a part of something that we can see something really incredible happen. So let me just pray for us in closing. Lord Jesus, you are the senior pastor of One Harbor. Absolutely. Absolutely you are. And we just want to look to you this morning. It's budding church, and there's people here who they're not part of One Harbor, and that's okay. It's totally cool because we're only one of lots of harbors, and we're thankful for the people you've put around us, the churches you've put around us, the community you've put us in to impact and to change. And God, I so desperately want to see you change this community, and I want to see you get the glory for it. And I know that's only going to happen when we grasp this thing of we can if we will. Not that guy can, if that guy will. And God, I pray that as we worship together, that what you would hear in heaven wouldn't be kind of all these individual voices kind of all over the place doing their own thing. But I pray, God, you'd hear a unified voice, almost like a team that comes out of the gates onto the field singing their song. God, that you would see us as a unified team. Yeah, we're different. We love that. You know, this team here in the Bible had doctors and slaves. That's pretty diverse. Had guys who were circumcised and guys who were uncircumcised, and they always killed each other, and somehow they're on the same team. And that's beautiful, God, and we ask that this morning you'd see the diverse team that you've put here this morning. God, you would hear a unified heart of worship. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.